Beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Donald Trump Jr.'s Triggered is number one on the New York Times bestsellers list. Although some are crying foul and saying bulk purchases are what raised the book to number one, a dagger symbol does appear next to the listing, and that indicates that some sales were bulk purchases. Donald Trump Jr. reacting to folks on the left saying the book should not be number one.
Well, you know, listen, I think they do that to a lot of conservative books. I noticed even Brian, congratulations. I think you sold a few thousand more than the number two book, but they gave you the number three slot. So they do that oftentimes. So I sold approximately 70,000 books. Number two on the list sold 30,000. They're saying that because the RNC did a promo where they literally marked up my book, sold 10,000 copies at a markup, so for a profit, right, for more than you could get it in a bookstore. They said, well, that's a bulk sale and doesn't count. So I said, fine, take those 10,000 out of my number. Congratulations. I still sold two times number two. But these are the sort of games. They must have been in major tears having to give me the number one slot in that one. It must have drove them crazy. So I guess that's their way of exerting a little bit of revenge by putting an asterisk without getting into the details.
And finally, the agent for Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph isn't ruling out any legal options in the aftermath after the late game melee Thursday night. Rudolph was struck in the head with his own helmet by Cleveland's Myles Garrett after the Browns' defensive end ripped it off in the final seconds of the Steelers' 21-7 loss. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon. It's the sports guys, and I anticipate one of the other sports guys to be here momentarily. However, I guess I'll have to carry on. John Manfreda plans on being here. Our third sports guy, Bill Wolfson, is not able to be with us today, and I'm not sure whether or not he's going to be able to call in. However, needless to say, we have lots of sports, and I think what I'll do is play a couple commercials, and if hopefully John will join us. But before I play the commercials, let me tell you a little bit about the weather. Of course, for me, it's freezing, 45 degrees, but I've come back from where it was 90 degrees plus, beautiful sunny weather every day. Heard some of the not fun weather here in Hunterdon County, New Jersey. But tonight, pretty typical. Now it's about 45 degrees. To me, freezing, but I guess it's better than it's been. Tonight we're going to be down to about 25 degrees, but it'll be mostly clear. Tomorrow is the day of the weekend. High, probably only about 38 degrees, but it's going to be sunny, and that's always makes it beautiful. By tomorrow night, partly cloudy, low of about 21 degrees, so it's getting down there. You know, we're getting some freezing weather at night. And by Sunday, it's going to be mostly cloudy, and then there's a slight chance of rain, high of about 42 degrees, but then low on Sunday night, and there's about a 40% chance of rain, so you have to be careful because it could be icy. Although they predict the low of about 34 degrees, it could easily get lower than that, and then we'll have could have some very slick roads. By Monday, about a 40% chance of rain and high of 45 degrees. However, what we need to do is worry about the night, because there's a 30% chance of showers and then a chance of rain or snow, low of about 33 degrees. Depending if it gets a little bit lower, it'll be snow. It could be slush, but it also could be some, you know, bad roads. So let's be careful out there. And we, you know, the first time it snows or freezes, and I think freezing rain is obviously something to be very concerned about. So I'm going to play a couple spots. Hopefully John will be here. And if not, we'll be talking about everything sports, and certainly top news in sports is what happened last night at the Steelers-Browns game. Heard that a little bit even on the regular news. So we'll talk more about that when John gets here.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody out there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, hello. It's the sports guys, or I should say the sports guy, because John still has not arrived. How do you be late for your own program? We'll ask John. But let's talk sports, and I'm going to defer talking about what everybody's talking about until John gets here, because I'm sure that he'll have some comments about what has happened at the Brown-Steeler game and Miles Garrett's suspension. So, but what else is happening this weekend? Of course, big news for Cowboy fans is that the Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford is out, and so he will not be playing Sunday. Obviously, the Cowboys fans are more than discouraged after the loss last weekend to the Vikings, at 28-24 loss. Of course, Amari Cooper, you know, is still, you know, this terrific, terrific receiver. It's hard to believe he's been with the Cowboys for 5 years. He still is somebody that we all would like to have on our team. And, of course, John has just arrived, so I'm going to give him a second to get himself together.
Oh, Pat, I'm already well into the show. What can I tell you?
Well, I was just easing into the show and talking about the fact that Matthew Stafford is not going to be with the Lions
this
weekend.
Yes, and that obscured a lot of people's betting for the weekend, but I just heard received an update from my Vegas contact with a new line on the Giants.
Oh.
Yeah, the Giants are actually +3.5 this weekend.
You're kidding me. Nobody's been talking about the Giants.
Well, they
all
have a bye, Pat. The bye is -3.5 against the Giants. What can I tell you? But the big game is in Philadelphia this weekend.
Well, I know that,
and
so
that's,
we can talk about that. And then, of course, I was saving any discussion about the Steelers-Browns till you came. Because, of course, that's the only thing that's been on the news, including the regular news. So where do we start? Do we talk about Myles Garrett and what happened last night? Or do we start with talking about the Eagles and, the two Super Bowl winners? Eagles, Patriots.
Two of the last 3 years, I guess?
Yep.
Or was that,
no, that
three
was
of the more, last four
that
years?
That was a few more years
That was
ago.
3 years ago. Well, the game upcoming it should be a very good game. Both teams are vulnerable. I think that whoever controls the secondary is going to win this game because the Patriots do have the top defense, and if they don't give Carson Wentz time to throw, it's going to be a long day for the Philadelphia offense. On defense, the Eagles are vulnerable in the secondary. So people are thinking that Brady is just licking his chops. However, the front seven for the Eagles hit pretty hard and could very well, play a bump-and-run type defense that'll disrupt the Patriots' route. So, I think it's a game that'll be close at halftime, and then we'll see what the adjustments are.
Well, what about, however, the Eagles are really banged up. So what impact, and now I've heard that they expected to sign the running back who used to be with him, right?
Jay
Ajayi? I don't know, how do you pronounce his name?
I think it's Ajayi.
I
believe what they're trying to do is bolster the running game, particularly this weekend, because it's very tough to throw against New England. They have very versatile corners, and they love to jump the routes. So if any ball is underthrown or a receiver doesn't run a correct route,
right,
they're looking at least one or two pick sixes, and they're very, very concerned about that in the Eagles' locker room. So they got to be thinking in terms of trying to run the ball a little bit more. But again, the Patriots' defense is very, very stout against the run. So, somebody mentioned there's a lot of similarity between the Packers and the Patriots this year. You got very tough defense, arguably the best quarterback, and a running game that is decent, but, is probably in the top 10 in the league, but has a balanced attack with a quarterback who can make that big play.
Well,
so,
except, I have missed the last couple games, obviously, and it was funny. Dave told me that he was very concerned about the last game and said, I don't know if you watched it.
I did.
He said, the snow flurries at first. By the fourth quarter, if it had gone on any longer, they wouldn't have been able to see the receivers.
In fact, I was watching the game at home with my daughter Laura in the background, and we were chatting about different things, and I happened to glance at the big screen, and I saw these snowflakes coming down. I said, Laura, take a look at this. And, she is not much interested in football these days. My son-in-law, thankfully, is a big football fan, a Giants fan, but he wasn't there, so it's just me and Laura. And she said, Dad, that looks picturesque. And it was so beautiful to see that. Now, nice to see snowflakes on TV and not out your window. We certainly aren't anxious to see snow in these parts. But it was very picturesque, to your point.
But did it look as if the fourth quarter, if there had been a fifth quarter, if it had gone on Dave said for another half an hour, he didn't think they'd be able to see the receivers.
Yeah, that's true. It was getting, the visibility was becoming worse and worse. The flakes were big. So naturally, that obscures the vision even more. And it was snowing a little heavier, big flakes. Yeah, it would have been a game that would not have had any deep balls, that's for sure, because the receiver would have lost the ball in flight.
Well, we've been, you know, I know the Packers have a good record, 8-2, but they've really squeaked a few of these things out.
Well, early on, Pat, look, folks, for those of you who don't remember, this summer, all Pat talked about was she was frightened at the prospect the Packers were going to be 0-3. And we kept – Bill and I both kept saying they'll probably be 2-1 or at worst 1-2. But knowing the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, they'll be 3-0, and sure enough. And here they are at 8-2. You're right. They did squeak by, and I think those early wins gave them confidence to build – a winning tradition there for the younger players who are just getting acclimated to the system.
Well, you're right. And, you know, I was worried because we were going Chicago, Minnesota. And, of course, now the Vikings are still, you know, they last week with what they did against the Cowboys.
Well, you know, Pat, it's funny. And my best friend Lou is really big Viking fan. And I said, you know, it was as much a Cowboy loss as it was a Minnesota win. What do I mean by that? Well, the Vikings went into the game saying they were going to stop Zeke Elliott. You know, just try and run him. I mean, they told the Cowboys what they were going to do. They stuffed the box with eight people. And what did Jason Garrett, he of Princeton, do? He tried to run into a brick wall. And you had one of the best backs in the league getting shut down, and he never made any adjustments. And I think Dallas looked bad in that game because Minnesota was – I think they were out-coached by Minnesota, but more to the point, on the field, the play up front, they were not able – to dominate the line of scrimmage and with that they're used in a way they're used to. That big Dallas offensive line was the scheme didn't work, and the Vikings were waiting for him often. It was a very poor offensive line play for the Cowboys.
And you know, I always loved to watch Amari Cooper.
Great receiver, yeah.
I mean, he really is a great receiver, one of the best. So how did they manage to?
Well, part of the problem was, you know, the Minnesota secondary is pretty good, and their pass rush was good, and also they had Dallas in situations where it was hard to get the ball to him. I mean, he still got his catches. He had a couple of nice catches, and he and Dak Prescott, who by the way overall didn't look good in this game, but he does continue to show some extraordinary skill with regard to throwing right at the sideline. In fact, it was a textbook illustration of how you throw the ball 3 yards outside the end zone, where it's impossible for anybody but your receiver to catch. Now, folks, I'm saying this is extraordinary. I'm talking to a co-host, Pat Schmitz, who is used to seeing this routinely with Aaron Rodgers. I think he almost invented this play where he takes the end zone and extends the sideline because he's throwing the ball 3 yards out where the receiver gets his toe down, leans over the edge at an angle. But you're right, Amari Cooper, they showed one shot. He must have been at a 60-degree angle to even get there, position himself, and lean into the ball as it was thrown going out of bounds. It was an incredible display of body control.
Yeah, that's
and to see Kirk Cousins do this, and to see Dak Prescott do this, I honestly think that Rodgers has sort of set that tone for strong-arm quarterbacks who can get the ball there. Now, to give him his little kudos, Daniel Jones has actually thrown a couple of touchdown passes like that. And that's switching to the Giants for a minute. His arm is a lot stronger than people made him out to be. When they took him with the sixth overall pick, people argued that he hadn't played, yep. coming from Duke, hadn't played in the competition. I mean, he had accountants out there as his teammates, you know, not the big rough tough guys that some of these other state schools have. The players, the receivers he had were a clear, you know, step down from a lot of these other big time programs. You know, like Haskins came from Ohio State, and I think the Giants reasoned that Jones was the better pick because Haskins looked better because he had more to work with. Anyway, one of the knocks on Jones was questionable arm strength. He has completely eradicated that suggestion, and no question there. And he has, on a couple of occasions, gotten the ball outside the end zone. And again, the only quarterback that I'd seen do that on a consistent basis was Aaron Rodgers. And now I think other teams are incorporating that into their scheme.
Well, what will be interesting, my dear Giant friend, is what happens in, 3 weeks?
I know what happens in 3 weeks. You're going to be smiling the following Friday because I think the Packers are going to stick it to the Giants.
I don't know, but I've got two tickets.
You know, I heard that rumor somewhere. Mm-hmm. You never know.
It came in the mail while I was away.
How about that?
We will talk about that.
Yeah. I'm sure David will weigh in on that, Pat, you know.
Well, everybody is talking, of course, about what happened with the Steeler-Browns. I don't know if you watched the end of that game.
I didn't, but I heard there was some drama and controversy.
Oh, drama and controversy. Did you see any of it?
No, I didn't.
Well, I did. I didn't see the end of the game, but I saw a lot of what was going on today. And, of course, defensive end Miles Garrett has been suspended without pay for
what
the rest
did he
of the
do
season.
Exactly?
Well, I did see it, you know, and it goes very quickly, but I did see it today. And what happened is the quarterback Mason Rudolph was on the ground, and frankly, when he was on the ground, I saw him. He was saying something to Garrett. Garrett was on the ground. I didn't see whether he had tackled him or exactly what happened before.
So both players were on the ground?
Well, but Garrett was above him. And there's no question that Rudolph was saying something to him. Probably not very nice. And in fact, he's going to be under review for penalties, meaning the quarterback. But what Garrett did...
Maybe unsportsmanlike or something.
What Garrett did is he ripped his helmet. He ripped Rudolph's helmet off. No question about it. And
oh, my
then
gosh.
You see him. Yeah, I mean, this was bad. He rips it off, and he's backing up. And then what you see is Rudolph gets up, and Garrett actually... And there's somebody coming between them. Because why in the world... Rudolph didn't just stay on the ground, I don't know. But he came back at Garrett. Garrett actually flung the helmet at him. And frankly, it would have been even worse.
He could have severely injured him.
Could have. And because I think he still had it in his hand. What happened is one of the Steeler players was basically trying to keep the two of them apart at that point. And if not, it would have been much worse.
That is very disturbing to hear.
It was very, very distressing. Yeah, and then what you also saw is it Poultry? Is that his name? Poultry from the Steelers? So he got involved. And I think he was the one who was then, when Garrett was on the ground, was kicking him. I mean, it was a medley. So I know that... you know, I mean, there was no question that Garrett was absolutely inappropriate, pulling the helmet off and then going after him. But the Steelers, I mean, the fact that the one guy was kicking him once he was down on the ground, and then there was this medley.
Well, there's no room for that in the game.
There really isn't. And
you can't under any circumstances justify Garrett's actions. But it will be interesting to see where that inquiry goes to find out what Rudolph said to him. Because they're clearly going to ask him, what did you say? And he won't know if on film they can see him close enough to discern what he might have said. I mean, you know, you could think of some really mean things he might have said, which may or may not have a mollifying effect on Garrett's actions. You know, as you well know, as a lawyer, nothing verbal can justify a physical assault.
Right.
But in this case, in the heat of battle, it will certainly not bode well for Rudolph if it turns out, particularly if he said something of a highly sensitive nature.
Right. Well, I think, however, this is magnified by the fact that it was a Thursday night nationally televised
game. That's the only game in town.
Nationally televised game. The league is really trying to clean itself up. But what they also is Poultry. He was suspended for 3 games for kicking Garrett.
Wow.
And Larry, and I can never say this name, Ogjubi, O-G-U-N-J-O-B-I, he was suspended for 1 game. They're both appealing, so this isn't going to go away. It'll be interesting to see. And as I said, Rudolph's conduct will be renewed.
For sure. Yeah.
And the thing about Garrett is apparently he has an excellent reputation. Now, he was, but he's tough on the field.
Well, here's the latest news that
separate penalties.
Here's the latest news that just came in from the wire service here. Cleveland Browns star Myles Garrett has been suspended indefinitely by the NFL for ripping off Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph's helmet and striking him on the head during the final seconds of Thursday night football. Garrett will be suspended at least through the regular season and postseason for his actions, which that probably won't concern the Steelers postseason. That is just a horrible display, and I thank my friend Kerry for that.
But they're truncating a little bit because it wasn't that he ripped his helmet off and then smashed him. It was, you know, he pulled that helmet off, was backing away, and then Rudolph
and Garrett and Rudolph charged him.
You know, you can't really say that Rudolph came up to, and I can say he's probably saying, "I want to get my helmet." Look,
that's probably going to be his affirmative defense. I was just asking him very nicely to return my helmet, not as a weapon, but as my property.
And if you saw, I mean, I think that both teams are probably facing something in light of the fact that if you saw all of these players on both sides coming out, and there was some really. I mean, they were kicking Garrett. I don't know how he got off the ground.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see where that goes. And by the way, speaking of football and in the Northeast, there is a development. Well, it's not. It's a bit late breaking news now, but there has been a major shift in geography for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. It turns out that the rumors of him purchasing a home in Greenwich, Connecticut have turned out to be true. And, you know, he lives in the Foxborough area now, of course, not far from the stadium.
Are you talking about Brady?
But Brady and...
Are you talking about Brady?
The six-round draft pick from somewhere. He and his wife bought a house in Greenwich, Connecticut in some posh section.
Are you saying Brady and his wife or somebody else?
No, Tom Brady.
Brady and his wife.
Have purchased this house. But it's significant. You're not going to commute from Greenwich to Foxborough for practice every day. So the strong rumor is that although he has said he wanted to play at least 45, why would you go and buy this house in Greenwich and start moving over?
But is he moving? The fact is he lives right in Boston.
Well, he lives in the Foxborough area, you know.
Did he sell his place in Boston?
No, I don't think he sold the Massachusetts residence, but it certainly, for other reasons, has put Greenwich on the map, and it's going to certainly become a focus of football, particularly in the Northeast, where what's going on there. That's
well, I guess, you know, maybe they just bought a second home. They have a lot of
possible.
Money, and they live in.
But as someone once said, "There goes the neighborhood." You know?
Well, that's true. But I can't imagine that would spark the rumor that he's leaving the Patriots.
Well, it has been used as speculation, at the very least, that one of the rumors has him possibly leaving the Patriots at the end of the year. So it's.
Yeah, but
it remains
like,
to be seen. And
it's not like he bought a house in another area where there's big football. I don't know. I mean, I think that's because we speculate on anything dealing with,
As a New England guy myself, and not a Patriots fan, but as a Connecticut New England guy myself, I must say half my family lives in Connecticut, it's interesting that's where he wound up landing.
Well,
you know?
You see, now I would think it would be big news if he bought a house in Chicago, or if he bought a house in San Francisco.
Well, I now have a picture of the house, and the price tag on it is $9 million. The home is on 10 acres, 14,862 square feet of living space, including 7 bedrooms and 8 full and 4 half bathrooms. I mean, that is a lot of bathroom space,
well,
I guess. You know?
I guess his wife will still have to keep working.
You know,
and
that could be just
money.
To pay the real estate taxes, she'll have to keep working. Well, and that is in the vicinity of where the Mara family lives as well.
But also remember.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, what I thought was always interesting.
And here I thought all these folks lived in New Jersey, you know?
Well, what I thought was really interesting is what other quarterback, NFL quarterback, could say that his wife makes more money than he does, Brady.
Well, yeah, but I think Brady still makes like $18 million a year. He should be making 30. He took a pay cut, but he's smart, as you know. Unlike other quarterbacks who want as much as he took less so they could use the money to sign offensive linemen.
And that really was smart.
Yeah, I mean, when you factor in the tax implications, it was a small sacrifice for Brady to make. And you know what's going to happen in exchange for that. They're going to give him a parting present. They'll make that money up to him, no doubt.
But
no
again,
doubt.
At least a few years ago, his wife earned more money a year than he did.
Oh, I think she still does. I think with endorsements and public, you know, because she's in Europe and all of that, I don't obviously follow her career, but I believe she's a European model. I don't know. But having said that, it's a pretty nifty lifestyle. And by the way, there's a statement that was just released a few moments ago about the incident, again, back in Pittsburgh. Garrett issued a statement apologizing for the violent incident. Last night I made a terrible mistake. I lost my cool and did what was selfish and unacceptable. I know we're all responsible for our actions. I can only prove my true character through my actions moving forward. I want to apologize to Mason Rudolph, for my teammates, our entire organization, fans of the NFL. I know I have to be accountable for what happened, learn from my mistake, and I fully intend to do so. Unfortunately, he's going to have to do so doing something else because apparently he has been suspended for the season. So more to come with that terrible black mark on the league this week. Not a great week to open week 11 in the NFL, but that is apparently what happened. So at this point, you certainly are in the middle of the season with some great races going on in both conferences, and then you open up with a Thursday night game and have some ugly incident like this happen. Certainly Roger Goodell and the NFL brass have some work to do to clean this thing up. But as it goes, the NFL can survive just about anything. You know, they played the day, the couple of days after President Kennedy got shot, because that's what they thought Kennedy would have wanted, and that's what the country wanted, and the games went on. And you've had all kinds of negative publicity happening over the years, and the games still go on. So, as they like to say, the game is bigger than any one incident. So, reasonable minds could differ on whether they should suspend somebody for the season for an incident like that, but they certainly have a black mark on week 11, and they're going to have to do something that would, you know, get the fans looking back into football and away from all these negative things.
So what am I hearing about Colin Kaepernick now?
Well, he's been tried out too, and apparently he's trying to work his way back in the league, you know?
Has he been signed by anyone? I know I've been away.
They are expecting by next week. He might, supposedly 13 teams showed up for his tryout. It was like a pro day. You know, and look, I disagree with his politics, and I disagree with the manner in which he tried to get his point across. I understand his methodology is 100 million people watching the games, and what better way to get everybody's attention? But it turned negative on him, and he should have, in my opinion, sought another medium to express his political views. Having said that, he was penalized for the past 3 years during the prime of his career, and now he may be getting a second shot. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I you know, look, Colin Kaepernick.
I know, you saw him destroy the Packers in a playoff game, so you're going to hate him for as long as he lives.
No, actually, you know, what he was a big surprise. I mean, the Packers were not prepared for him.
That was the pistol was a new offense. Nobody was prepared for it. And quite frankly, Pat, the following year, that was big. And then defenses solved it. The defensive guru solved it. And that is the official word from NFL people when they talk about blackballing him. They say, no, Kaepernick wasn't blackballed. He was typecast in the pistol offense, which the defenses solved relatively quickly, and therefore, because he's not a pocket passer and doesn't have a real strong arm, he was not able to work his way back into the league.
Yeah, he was blackballed. But the point was, what that showed me, and I was at that game.
Yes, you were there. That was in San Francisco, right?
It was in San Francisco. It was, you know, we talk about going to Packer games where it's cold, but that was that damp, cold.
Yeah, cold right off the water. That's the problem with San Francisco.
I have never been as cold.
I've talked to people going to Giants games in July, night games, and they say that cold breeze off the water is terrible at that time, and that's July.
It really was.
You were there in January.
And what it showed me is that if anybody can come up with something really new, no matter how well these teams are prepared, you know, they can get snookered, and that's what happened. I mean, it was just embarrassing.
I remember one play from that game, Pat, and you had to, at that point, have been mortified. There was an option, more or less an option play, where Kaepernick rolled out, and he faked a pitch and kept the ball and kept running, and the Packers secondary wasn't prepared for it.
No, it was actually
he ran straight down 70 yards down the field and was untouched.
Oh, it was actually like they might have been sitting in rows on either side watching him.
Yeah.
And backing up to let him go. I mean, it was so embarrassing.
Yeah,
and
that was a game in which San Francisco, everything clicked. That was a horrible playoff game for the Packers. But then San Francisco ultimately got rolled up in the NFC Championship game.
Right.
But,
I just think that
I still remember you bitterly complaining. You spent all those resources to go to that game 3,000 miles away and watch them dismantle the Packers. But,
well, actually, I've been in San Francisco twice for playoff games. and both times my team lost.
Part of that fault was on Mike McCarthy for not being able to adjust in the second half.
That's true. Well, you know, I've never been, I never was a McCarthy fan. Never was. I thought that he should have done better with the team he had.
He should have been able to win a second Super Bowl.
And
with that quarterback and the talent he had, Matthews on defense. I mean, they probably, had they beaten the Giants, they would have beaten the Patriots.
Oh, and I watched that game, too.
Yeah, you were there for that game, too, yeah.
Maybe they should pay me to stay away from playoff games.
There you go.
That's right. I think I should contact the Packers and let them know that I am kind of a jinx for playoff games.
There you go. Loyal fan is a jinx for the team.
Yeah, that's right. Now, on Super Bowl, I have a 50-50 record, so they won one.
Which Super Bowl did you see them win?
I saw them win against
New England. You saw the 96-97 Super Bowl, which my buddy Rick from Brantford, Connecticut, was at that game.
Well, that was in New Orleans, and I have to tell you, any real football fan. And, you know, now it's the point where I think Super Bowls are not for the real football
fans.
Well,
they're not. But that was the game that was the two TD return kickoff returns by Howard.
Maybe. I'm forgetting. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
But
that was an exciting game back and forth.
It really was.
And Bill Parcells coached the Patriots in that game.
Yeah. That was really a great game. And but then, of course, I saw them lose in San Diego. And, of course, it was interesting because I don't know if I've ever been at... Well, I've been at games where the fans were all... but everybody wanted Denver to win that game. Other
of
than
course.
Those of us who were diehard Packers fans.
Of course. Yep, I mean, Denver was the center of the fair. I thought the Packers would win that game.
Oh, so did I, right down to the end.
Yeah.
I mean, I really did. I thought they would pull that out. I couldn't believe that they lost that game. I mean, I remember where
the
it was
the 2-point conversion.
Oh, please! I mean, it was just I absolutely believe.
Well,
that
folks, here you're hearing firsthand the lament of the sports fan, and you know, Pat, it's funny, and you know me and my percentages and so forth. I'm a percentage and stat guy. It depends what you look at. You know, if you're a baseball player and you make out 7 out of 10 times, you're a great hitter, right?
Right.
You know, if you lose 7 out of 10 cases, you're a bad trial attorney.
Absolutely.
Right. And if you lose 7 out of 10 football games, you're a bad football team. And but that's sports, you know, and as you know, I often say sports mirrors life, and very many, it's very true, many things do follow the ebb and flow of sports results, and it's, you know, sometimes just a philosophy that teaches us that you can't always win.
Well, that's true, and, you know, the one thing I feel... badly about this most recent incident is apparently Garrett has an excellent reputation of being a good guy. Now, I know that he was, I think he had a penalty the last game, roughing the passer.
Well, a roughing call, I mean, that's just somebody trying to make a play.
That's it. And apparently he's done a number of charity kinds of work. He's done mission work.
Oh,
he's,
no doubt.
You know,
no doubt. I think it was out of character, but he really just blew a gasket. And who knows what was said to him by the quarterback.
But as we know, you know, sticks and stones.
Yeah,
but
words are not sufficient provocation. Yeah. We know that.
And we all know, and it's always interesting when they have some mics on the field, because we know of all the talk that goes on.
Sure.
And
I think the one area where it's somewhat sacrosanct is in baseball. I don't think the catcher is, sort of culturally speaking, allowed to say anything to the batter.
You know, there was a rumor a few years ago. One of the players was involved, and it was fairly well known that he wasn't married to the most faithful of wives. And that one of the rumors was that when he got into the batter's box in a key moment, the catcher made some remark about it. That I'm not sure if there was any truth to that, but you know, I think that's one area where that just can't be tolerated.
Oh, I can imagine.
First of all, it's dangerous. Yeah. You may get somebody distracted and have a 98-mile-an-hour fastball hit them in the head and kill them. So,
or you might have the batter.
Or the bat might accidentally come out of the batter's hands into the catcher's head. Yeah, it's true. Well, so you were in danger there.
Let's just take a break.
Take a couple of breaks and we'll come back.
But we'll come back.
And yes.
Okay, let me find our commercial book here.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Okay, we're back. We're back.
We are.
I have this microphone that's bouncing up and down. So what do you predict Patriots-Eagles.
You know, Pat, it is, I think, the most interesting game this weekend. A lot of people are looking at Brady licking his chops against that Philadelphia secondary. I do think he'll be taking his shots downfield. But I think New England will try to run the ball. If they can run the ball with any degree of success, the Eagles are dead, because then the secondary can't come up. They're going to have to they're not going to know what to do. They're going to come up and try to defend the run, stay back in coverage. Going to be very difficult. So the Eagles' first job is to stuff the run and then put Brady in third and long where they can bring people and take a shot at him up the middle, because everybody knows that is the key to beating Tom Brady, and the Eagles have done it before. On defense, though, this New England defense is just a swarming, stout defense. I think it'll be a relatively low-scoring game, is my take. I do think the Patriots will win it, and they'll win it late. But it's going to come down to adjustments at halftime, who makes the better adjustments. Yep. And, you know, I think Belichick is he's the best in the business, Pat.
No, he is. You know, as much – I'd like to see the Eagles win, because, of course, I have a couple, you know, grandchildren who are Eagles fans, and poor Tommy when they have not done well. I don't know.
He must have been distraught after that Eagle loss in Dallas 2 weeks ago, where they were embarrassed. But now you saw the Cowboys last Sunday night
embarrassed
themselves.
Oh yeah. Well, then so, I have, you know, my daughter and other grandson are Dallas fans. I haven't even talked to Dylan, who you know, when his team is losing, he has a hard time watching. I mean, he really does.
No question about
compassion.
It. And so now we're back to the NFC least again. You know, it's still traditionally the strongest division in football, most Super Bowls. But it also is a division where it's volatile. So you'll have a time when three out of the four teams are double-digit winning teams and have a shot, and now you're in an era where the two top teams are 5-4 and have not won any big games. So I certainly don't think this is going to be a year where you're going to see an NFC East team. I mean, you never know. You still got some you know, 2 months to go, but if you think about it from the position of the rest of the NFC, you thought the Rams were going to be a 14-2 team this year, and look what they've done. They've fallen on their face. So who's the opposition? The Minnesota Vikings? I got to tell you, Pat, I really think it is the Packers' NFC championship to lose.
Oh, I do too.
They've beaten the Bears, beaten the Vikings. Neither quarterback can in big games. I mean, Cousins beat Dallas in prime time. First time he's won a big game. Do you think he's going to beat Aaron Rodgers in a big game? I don't think so.
Well, but the concern about the Minnesota game is that it gets played in Minnesota.
Well, if you had the NFC championship in Minnesota, tough game. I don't see that. Right now, the Packers are a game ahead, 8-2 versus 7-3.
I'm talking about the next,
Well, there's
the
no question. And then that, what you're saying is that at that point, they would have an even record.
That's right.
And, you know, you may not get a home game at Lambeau out of that.
Right.
Yeah, I see your point. That's where they're vulnerable. But again, my point is, there isn't much other competition. I mean, certainly the Vikings you have to worry about, especially if you don't get home field. But quite frankly, you know, who else in the NFC, unless the Eagles or Cowboys turn it around and become a really strong team in the second half, I'm not sure who else I'd be afraid of.
Well, it depends. I mean, Packers have to play San Francisco. And
San Francisco, yeah, they're the other team, but and Garoppolo is a good young quarterback and so forth, but with San Francisco, they've done it with line play. You know, they have a great offensive line, a great defensive line. You know, anybody who can beat that is Aaron Rodgers, because he can roll out.
Yep.
And he can take away that pass rush and get the ball downfield. So, you know, I still would go advantage Packers against the 49ers.
Oh, I'm hoping.
You know, but I think the NFC, you have a much more competitive situation as amongst the top three, four teams. And the AFC, you don't know, the random element is the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, we know what New England brings. Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, this kid is just explosive. He's magnetic. He's elusive. But, you know, I think that Baltimore lacks the depth that the other teams have. With the Chiefs, it's their defense.
Right.
You know, I mean, they certainly absolutely can run up a score, but they're now 7-4, or 6-4, I guess. 7-4. And the question is, can their defense win in the playoffs against the premier offenses, the New Englands, the Baltimores, who they would have to play?
Well, I think that always, it just seems that, the Patriots, it's too, they're too good.
They're very good, and they are always in the weakest division, and the AFC over the last 20 years has traditionally only produced one or two other teams that could compete with them. In the NFC, particularly the NFC East or in the NFC North, you have team divisions with three very good teams that are black and blue type teams. You know, if the Patriots were in either of those divisions, you would see a different Super Bowl run.
I think so. And talking about Super Bowl run, I think we're about out of time. I was going to play the news, but I think even the news is going to get cut off. So maybe we won't play the news. So predictions, what do you have the Eagle Patriots this week? Patriots win.
I would go 24-17 Patriots.
And I would go 28-24 Patriots.
Okay. So maybe a few more points. I think the defenses
so 24,
will
24-17. Well, we can find out next week.
We'll find out next week, folks.
And sorry, Tommy and Megan, that I hope I'm wrong. Put it that way. I hope I'm wrong.
Pat's grandchildren.
I hope we'll probably watch the game with them, and I hope that I'm wrong, and I hope that Bill will be back next week with us, and he'll be crowing away because his team gave the Patriots their second loss of the season. Wouldn't that be great?
This is true. That there's the potential for that.
So.
And as we sign off, a special shout-out to my special friend, Carrie. I appreciate everything you do, including those prayers. Keep them coming at St. Paul's. Have a great week, everyone.
And, it's now we have 30 seconds, so what else do we want to say? Patriots lose, and let us have our predictions be
wrong. Well, if Bill were here, he'd want to talk about the Flyers and how they've played so well over the past couple weeks, and they actually have a winning record, unlike my Devils, who have the second worst record in the NHL, despite the having their top overall pick in two of the last 3 years and a decent goaltender. They just haven't been able to get it done. And so right now, hockey has not been high on my priority list right now. And also, we're worried about the winter meetings in baseball and what's going on there. Will the Yankees get Gerrit Cole? Will the Red Sox trade Mookie Betts? Who is the next big free agent the Yankees are going to get? And the Houston Astros are becoming the New England Patriots of the American League.
That's right.
With you had Spy Gate in football. I'm not sure what they're going to call Dugout Gate, I guess, here. I know center field camera gate. But if there's any truth to this, Pat, how could cameras on the field and banging of the clamoring of sounds to give away stolen stuff. I mean, this is just insane. And they're saying the 2017 Astros did this.
Well, I want to say one thing before we're cut off, which is I didn't
challenge of
the
Clinton,
Devils
New Jersey.
Purpose.
Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories.
Their hometown. but still do the job they want, and he hopes it will benefit rural towns in the process.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday.